KATE AM 1450, Afternoons with Aaron, and of course on Mondays we talk with Mike Grimm with the Minnesota News Network, their sports director, and of course the voice of Minnesota Golden Gopher football and basketball. And Mike, good afternoon. How was the weekend?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Aaron. Yeah, looking forward to another beautiful week here in Minnesota with another good week of summer here.
Absolutely. Let's start with the Minnesota Twins. And just when you think the Twins are done, they give us some hope. Then you think they're done again, and now they're back playing some better baseball. I think winners of seven of their last nine. They take 2 of 3 from Cleveland, hit the baseball all over the ballpark yesterday, kind of a home run derby at Target Field. The one thing we know about the Minnesota Twins, and they've had a lot of injuries, they can hit the baseball. It doesn't matter who's in the lineup. They have one of the most potent offenses in baseball, and that might keep them, you know, relevant in the AL Central throughout the summer.
Yeah, you know, and specific home runs, they I think are either first or second in home runs. The offense does go through prolonged slumps or sagging times in trying to produce rallies or produce runs. But when they have an opportunity to hit home runs that put crooked numbers on the board, they win. And so no question, that can keep them going. Obviously, Nelson Cruz struggled through May. He's been red hot since. You know, it's just unfortunate with what has gone on with Byron Buxton, because that guy, you know, was putting up an MVP type year. And you're right, these young guys that they brought in to try to take the place of some of the other injured ones are also doing pretty well. I mean, Larnick had not a homer, but a nice base hit yesterday that drove in the first run of the game and, you know, got him off on the right foot. So they can hit. Pitching has gotten better. You know, we've talked about it ad nauseum. I think every week we've talked about it, that, you know, the bullpen now is starting to pitch better. And I frankly think part of that is the decision that they've decided that starters can go longer than 4 or 5 innings. And yesterday was another example that, you know, they allowed the starting pitcher to work into the 7th inning. That wasn't their strategy 2 months ago. And all of a sudden the bullpen has less of a workload. They're available more often in more spots that you'd like to use those guys. And consequently, guess what? Their numbers have gotten better. So let's hope that continues. They've got an opportunity. They play the White Sox, I think it's, what, 7 times in the next, like, 20 days. And Chicago, even with the hot streak, and this is weird, this is how poor the Twins were. The White Sox have won only 3 of their last 10. Minnesota's won 7 of their last 9, as you referenced. And yet the Twins are still down at 11.5 games, yep, and you know, to the White Sox. So Chicago had gotten off to that red hot start. So even with the recent slump they've had, they're still in first. They lead the Indians by 2.5. But the Twins, even with the hot streak, still are really you know, on the outside of any kind of race at this point, looking in. But you know, like I said, I think it's 7 or 8. I know they play it tonight, starts a 4-game series, and then next week, I don't know if it's a 3 or 4-game series off the top of my head, but it's either 7 or 8 games over the next, like 15, I think it's the next 15 days. So, you know, if you could somehow, some way win 5 or 6 of those 8, you know, and cut into the lead another 3 or 4 and, you know, cut it down to 8 or, you know, 7 or 8 by the All-Star break, you know, who knows? People get nervous. And it isn't just the White Sox. You know, you can chase everybody else and still maybe have a chance to slip in. So, yeah, you know, they keep letting hope linger. And quite frankly, that's fine with me. I mean, it's better to watch games that might mean something than not. So let's hope they can keep playing at the level they've played at here in the last couple of weeks.
Mike Grimm here on KATE, and speaking of the White Sox, they're pretty banged up. Jose Abreu got beamed. I think he took it right around the knee area, so he's day-to-day. They are missing plenty of guys in their offense. So, yeah, big 4-game series coming up against the White Sox for the Minnesota Twins. And, you know, I'm a big White Sox fan, and I was watching the game live yesterday when a former Twin and a former White Sox, Hector Santiago, got kicked out of the game because they were examining his glove. And I thought it was, I don't want to say it was funny, but it kind of was. They took his glove, they put in a plastic bag, and it was an authenticator. I think they have someone that officially authenticates the gloves for more research to see what he was doing, the cheat. It was like a CSI crime scene on the south side of Chicago yesterday. Did you see any highlights of that?
I didn't see the highlights, but I did read it, and I'll be honest with you, you know, I consider myself, a fairly good baseball fan, but I chuckled a little bit. I didn't know Hector Santiago was still around, so even when I read his name, I chuckled a little bit, and then read the article, or a little bit of the article. So, yeah, obviously he goes down as the first guy since the crackdown to get caught, assuming that, you know, he claimed innocence. It said in the article that he was using rosin and rosin only. He claimed that they'll find only rosin in that glove. But yeah, it's like, they're trying to, figure out how to, we've talked about it, trying to figure out how to police this thing. And there's no easy answers. And I know over the last week or two, it's been crazy that, you know, I think two or three guys have actually pulled their baseball pants down and protest kind of thing, like, oh, check me, I'm clean. And but that's where we're at in this, unfortunately. And hopefully, this thing will calm down a little bit. People will be able to pitch the ball without having to use those things, and we'll move on. We shall see.
Now, Mike, let's turn our attention to the NBA for just a second. And Draft Lotto was held the last week. The Minnesota Timberwolves needed a top three ping pong ball to keep their pick in the upcoming draft. Ends up at number 7. It goes to a Golden State. Usually there's a lot of talk around the draft because usually the Timberwolves are drafting pretty high. This year we don't have a whole lot to look forward to with that pick going away. With that being said, I think it turned out okay for both teams. We did not give away a number 4, number 5 pick. Golden State gets a 7, and now we can move on from the whole Andrew Wiggins, D'Angelo Russell trade.
Yeah, and that I saw the other day that, there's a bunch of people involved with both those trades even before. Like even in Minnesota's case, I think if you go back to how the Wolves acquired Wiggins, it involved Kevin Love. So, I saw at one point people were tweeting out, the origins of this trade. It goes all the way back. And so ultimately, what it cost Minnesota to get D'Angelo Russell was quite a bit. When you factor in, it included Kevin Love and I think some picks and different things. But, it wasn't as if, and the Warriors also had to give up a few things. I mean, they signed D'Angelo Russell to a big contract, and then obviously had to do a few other things. So it came at a cost, but I'm just glad to get it done with. Unfortunately for the Wolves, they won't be able to add anybody. But at this point, I think, and this is going to sound like a silly statement, but that their roster is fairly much intact. If you could find, some budding superstar, great. Obviously, you'd want that, and you'd find a way to get rid of somebody on the current roster. But quite honestly, I think this team needs an influx of one more veteran at this point. So, figure out a way to make it work with salary cap, and somebody smarter than I that can figure that out clearly. But, they've got enough young people. They don't need another rookie, I don't think, on this team, unless it, and that's a problem, I mean, we've been living with the Steph Curry deal since they drafted Johnny Flynn before him. Oh. So we're going to live with the idea, like if the Warriors hit gold again with that 7th pick, it's just going to be, for the next 5-10 years, we're going to hear, not only did the Wolves get this guy from us, but now they got this new guy from us. So we'll see how it turns out. But I do think that, let's put it this way. I'd put it this way. The typical number 7 pick in the NBA draft, I don't think the Wolves need that particular player right now. They need a veteran, and they need to let the guys they've got hopefully stay healthy and figure out where they're at. They're still a ways off anyway, at this point. So another young guy just thrown into a mix of a bunch of young guys, you can't win in this league that way. At some point, you got to establish an identity with what you've got and roll with a groupie, and we'll see if that can happen. We're seeing it with Phoenix right now. If Wolves fans want to be optimistic in any way, they should watch what Phoenix did. And clearly the Wolves should be smart enough in marketing the idea that, hey, see what the Phoenix Suns have done? That's what we are doing right now. They got Booker, they got, and I don't follow it that close, so I can't name the roster, but who's the big kid from Arizona who was the number 1 pick that had the game-winning alley-oop?
DeAndre Ayton.
Ayton, yeah. And so, they added, they were young, they were horrible. I mean, they were terrible for 4 or 5 years. But that group now has kind of come together. Booker's emerged as, you know, quite frankly, the player of the postseason right now. And so if I'm the Wolves, as weird as it sounds, you know, you can't put a billboard up and say, hey, we're the next Phoenix Suns. That would look stupid. But I do think that that's what, if people want patience, that's what you look at. Hey, can Russell and Towns and obviously Anthony Edwards and some of these guys develop into a group like that? I think they're a ways away yet from it, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see where it takes them. But, I can't consider myself that heartbroken they didn't get the seventh pick at this point. But, like we said, who knows who Golden State picks in that, and it could be one of those that certainly comes back to haunt them.
Afternoons with Aaron, Mike Grimm, Minnesota News Network sports director. And Mike, we are just a few weeks or so away from the Olympics, hopefully crossing our fingers, taking place. I saw a gymnast, is it Sunasa Lee from Minnesota made the team?
Two
of them,
female
okay.
gymnasts from Minnesota made the team. And actually three when you count Shane Wiskus, who's from where is he from? Spring Lake Park. He was a gopher. He was like 3 or 4 time Big Ten gymnast of the year. So he made the men's team on Saturday, and then these two females made the women's team yesterday. So I think one goes to Utah, and I think the other one is maybe just independent. I don't know. I don't know if she ended up going to college. I don't have their names in front. You mentioned the one, but two ladies from Minnesota, youngsters, and then Shane Wiskus, who was a gopher. So there'll be three gophers. And, you know, gymnastics are one of the most watched parts of the summer games. So that'll certainly be good. And, you know, it really is remarkable the gymnastics background that Minnesota has. That, you know, the Gopher women's team finished in the top five this past year, and they have had a really good recent tradition. And the two best gymnasts in the Big Ten probably in the last, 8 to 10 years have been Minnesotans. And so that's pretty kind of fun to watch. And unfortunately for the Gopher men, not a decision I liked. I still think that they're paying the price for it. They cut the men's program, which
that's right.
You know, I just wish they could have figured out a different way about it, but they decided that was the route they wanted. But that said, part of why I think that is exactly what I just said. There's really good tradition of gymnasts here in Minnesota. So the women's team will continue to move on, and they again should be good next year because they have a lot of people back.
Mike, one last topic I want to talk to you about, and it has to do with the College World Series for baseball. Tough break for North Carolina State. They entered a COVID protocol, so their tournament comes to an end. And we seem to still be talking about COVID every Monday, but I bring this up because I was talking with my wife about this last night, and I wanted to get your thoughts. At what point does sports stop testing on a regular basis for COVID?
Yeah.
And I bring this up because, again, Chris Paul is a fine example of a guy that got the vaccine and still tested positive for COVID. At what point does sports say, and maybe it's, well, if you have the vaccine, you test positive, we'll let you play? Because as we get into a football season and so on, there are going to be cases for pretty much now and forever. I don't think COVID's ever completely going away. I just wonder when sports gets to a point where they say, okay, we feel safe enough that we're not going to test you every single day or every single week, because when they continue to do this, you are going to find positive cases. And in this case, North Carolina State saw their remarkable postseason run come to an end.
Yeah, really heartbreaking. It reminds you a little bit, but even I think, frankly, in a worse circumstance of Michigan and Notre Dame hockey, and was it Virginia Commonwealth men's basketball? They didn't even get to play. Well, these guys got to play, and then they made this Cinderella run where they beat the number one ranked team in the Super Regional, and then they beat the number one ranked team, or the top seeded team, I guess would be a better way to put it, right? Arizona in the World Series. And so to answer your question, I don't know. At some point, it's going to have to just be you're going to get tested if you have symptoms, and that's it.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm guessing. I don't know. I haven't looked that much into it. That many of those were vaccinated, and somewhere along the line they tested positive, and at some point, you know, we're at a point now where, you know, and clearly they were all asymptomatic. So, and doesn't mean they can't spread it. I get it if they're positive and all that stuff. But, you know, you have a handful of those guys. It just, you know, we're getting to the point where the numbers would, to me, I'm not an epidemiologist, obviously, would indicate that it's got to be. I think the Big Ten actually, and I don't have it in front of me, I think the Big Ten actually has started to release some details about what their plans are for the fall. And I do think it involves not nearly the testing. And remember, in addition to that, and obviously safety is the first thing. If outbreaks start, they're going to crank that testing back up. But in addition to that part, it was a tremendous expense the Big Ten took on for football, especially. You know, every team's got 105 players, and they tested every single day. So you think about that. That's 1,400 tests a day. Wow. That there's no days off. I think they tested every day of the week. Some other of the more non-traditional sports. Well, non-traditional is not the right term, but the Olympic sports, let's say, in the Big Ten, much of that was in every other day testing because they didn't compete as much. And, you know, but in football, you know, that's 1,400, roughly 1,400 tests a day from basically, what, the 5th of August to the 1st of January, and for some teams a little bit after that. So it's a lot of money because those tests aren't cheap, and they, you know, privately they had to pay for that. So, you know, I'm sure they would like to, one, get away from that side of it, and two, just move on. And I'm sure they're keeping their fingers crossed. They can't require it, but I'm sure they're keeping their fingers crossed that a lot of these guys get vaccinated so that these numbers stay down and they don't have to do a lot of testing.
Mike Grimm, Minnesota News Network Sports Director, the voice of Minnesota Golden Gopher football and men's basketball, joins us each Monday. Mike, thank you so much for the time. Have a great week. Happy 4th of July to you and your family, and we'll try to catch up sometime next week.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Thanks so much.